Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Let's head to the nation's capital right now to learn more about the Washington football team. Very happy to be joined by Nick Ashew. He works for 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C. Nick, how you doing, my man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing good. Let's start with the defense. I thought last year Washington had arguably one of the three best defenses in the league. It hasn't been the case so far this season. Why is that?
Well, we thought the same thing, too. It's been a surprise to everyone. Some of it was a mirage. I mean, if you look at some of the quarterbacks they played last year, I mean, they're playing backup quarterbacks compared to this season where it's been a complete quarterback gauntlet for them. And that's been one of the biggest things to expose them. The biggest issue, though, has been that the defensive line, which was supposed to be their staple, that was supposed to be what everybody depended on, they're not getting to the quarterback enough. They showed a little bit more against the state, some five-man fronts. They put a little more pressure on Jameis Winston, but you know he still torched them for some big plays because their secondary's not good. So it's like all these different factors are combining for just one really bad defense overall. Landon Collins is absolutely atrocious and has no business being on the field at safety anymore, but they run these plays at times where they've got him disguised as a linebacker and then he drops back in coverage and he's getting burned, and it's just like embarrassing. Like, he's running as fast as I would run out there. That's how bad it looks, and that's been really one of the issues for them, is that their secondary keeps getting burned on top of the fact that the defensive line isn't getting to the quarterback for the most part the way that everybody anticipated and the way we saw last year. Jonathan Allen is one of the few that's really put some pressure on the quarterback. We saw a little bit more from Chase Young this past week, but it's just kind of a combination of everything all at once not looking good for them.
You said a lot there. Let's focus in on the defensive line and inability to get pressure. You maybe haven't watched as much Kansas City as people here have, obviously, but you saw the Super Bowl and you saw the way to beat Kansas City is to get pressure with your front four. On paper, Washington should have a defensive line that should be able to do that, especially with Chase Young. I, like most people, were singing the praises of Chase Young last year and thought he was probably one of the 10 best defensive players in the league. It doesn't sound like things are going that way this season.
Not at all. And you're already having people talk about how he's a bust. They should have taken Justin Herbert instead, which, look, when you need a quarterback on top of that, it's natural for people to have that conversation. I'm going to pump the brakes and not go that far this soon with Chase Young, but he does need to get it together. Look, he deserved to be Defensive Rookie of the Year last year. The way he played the second half of the season was phenomenal. He was a game-changing pass rusher, but he hasn't done that so far this year. Last week was his best game against the Saints, and he had one forced fumble, and that ended up turning into a turnover. Washington got that, but really, other than that, you haven't seen those plays from him. He's as dynamic as really any of the pass rushers in the NFL in terms of his physical abilities, but he really just kind of has one move right now. He doesn't have a lot of different versatile moves to get to the quarterback yet, and most teams know, well, we can still put pressure on him, get two bodies on him at times, and he isn't able to get through that right now. And as you know, look, every great pass rusher in the NFL is going to be the focal point of an offensive line. Hey, watch this guy. He's coming after our quarterback. But the really good ones are able to get through that and find other ways to get to the quarterback and to make a difference, and we're just not seeing that from him right now.
Right now we're talking to Nick Ashew. He covers the Washington football team for 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C. You bring up the quarterback position. We got to talk about it. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he is now injured. Taylor Heinicke has made the transition to being the starting quarterback. This is the direction that I think they should have gone from the very beginning of the season. I thought that Heinicke showed you enough last year in the game against Tampa Bay in the playoffs that he at least should have been given a chance to start the beginning of the season. None of that matters now. He is the starting quarterback for this team. What are the expectations for Heinicke? What do you think the ceiling for Heinicke is?
The ceiling for him, if we're being honest, is good backup quarterback. I mean, he certainly showed in that playoff game that he does have a dynamic set of weapons, right? He can use his legs. He can create. He has, you know, he grew up loving Brett Favre. So there's some Brett Favre-type mentality with him, a little bit of a gunslinger, kind of gets out and improvises. But there's also times where he makes really, really bad plays. And if you go back and kind of look at how he's played throughout this year, he always has bad starts, especially in the first quarter, and especially the open drive for the offense where he's, you know, he's inaccurate, maybe a little too just kind of overly excited. The adrenaline's running and he's overthrowing receivers. He's not that tall, so it makes it a little more difficult for him at times to just kind of see over the offensive line depending what he's doing. But he also does have the ability to help when the plays break down, help when the offensive line isn't able to just block for him, and he's got to kind of run around a little bit. He's led two game-winning drives this year against the Giants and against the Falcons. Now, those aren't the best teams, but he still has the ability to do that. The big thing about him that I will say, because there are some people in D.C. that are like, he's the franchise quarterback. Well, you know, in Kansas City, you guys know what a franchise quarterback looks like. We don't here because it's been 100 years since we've actually had one, so people are a little bit crazy when it comes to figuring out who a franchise quarterback is. But the one thing that Heinicke actually does do is he also plays with sort of this mentality of, I'm playing with house money. Before that playoff game, and Washington signed him like a couple weeks before as an emergency quarterback, he was out of the league because the XFL had folded before that. He was in the XFL, and he was studying for finals at Old Dominion. I mean, that's really where it got for him. He thought he was done playing NFL football. So his mentality every week just kind of looks to be, I'm not supposed to be here anyway, so I'm going to go out, I'm going to have fun, I'm going to play confidently, I'm going to forget the mistakes that I make, and I'm going to move forward. And that can certainly be an advantage, but it can also be a detriment to him at times. We've got to be able to rein it in and make smarter plays at moments, but he can be very, very dangerous with his legs as well.
Nick, there's no greater lie that fans tell themselves that their very average quarterback is a franchise quarterback, because
it's all everybody does here. It's all that happens.
I even like Taylor Heinicke, but I don't know how you can watch him watch the other good quarterbacks in the league. So watch Mahomes, Herbert, Wilson, Rodgers, and then come away thinking, hey, you know what? Our guy's just as good as those guys. No, he's not.
It's exhausting. It happens all the time, and you get callers and tweets, and you're just like, you've got to watch the rest of these quarterbacks. I mean, we already saw Josh Allen this year. That's a franchise quarterback. That's not Taylor Heinicke, and you're just not going to get there. But, you know, look, everybody's so desperate to find the next Kurt Warner or, you know, even a Tony Romo or obviously Tom Brady. The great story, guys undrafted or a late-round pick and turns out to be a Pro Bowl quarterback and has all the success. Everybody wants that their quarterback to be that quarterback. The reason why those stories are so great is because you barely actually have those stories come to reality. And I think people are trying to just project that onto Taylor Heinicke right now. It's not as much as we had after the playoff game. I mean, it was. People were going nuts over that. This guy's the future. We found a secret weapon. Pump the brakes a little bit. He was terrible, in fact, against the Saints last week. But he has the ability to be certainly a very good quarterback as a backup moving forward for this franchise.
Right now, we're talking to Nick Ashew for a few more minutes. He covers the Washington football team for 106.7 The Fan. In the nation's capital. Let's talk about the parts around Taylor Heinicke, running back Antonio Gibson, Terry McLaurin. It sounds like he could or could not play. I'm sure you'll tell us whether or what the status is for a player like him. I think Washington has good offensive weapons. I thought last year they had a capable defense. Doesn't sound like their defense is playing at the same kind of level this year. What do you think the parts around Heinicke?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly concern with now Terry McLaurin's on the injury list, and then you've got Antonio Gibson, who's been banged up the last couple of weeks. Those guys are their two most dynamic weapons right now offensively, because Curtis Samuel hasn't played at all for them this year. I mean, since they signed him, he's had a groin injury, really wasn't involved in anything in training camp, mini camp, preseason, came back a couple weeks ago. He's had limited snaps. Went out of the game last week. At this point, you just don't count him as part of the offense because he's barely been there. But Terry McLaurin is this team's offense. He's one of the best receivers just going up and getting footballs in coverage. He's so good at that because he's used to it, because he's getting double teamed half the time because you don't have a lot of other consistent weapons for this team offensively. That's why Washington went and got Curtis Samuel, but you haven't had him. You've got Adam Humphries, who actually had, 73 yards receiving last week. He's a nice weapon out of the slot for them. Antonio Gibson can be very dynamic. He really was mostly a receiver in college. He spent very little time actually running the football, but they've made him their feature back. Ran the ball 20 times last week, had a couple of touchdowns. So when the ball is in Antonio Gibson's hands, he can make plays, but he only had 60 yards rushing. So they just, I wish they would run him more, but it just seems like that's not what they want to do. But I get that, you know, Scott Turner, the offensive coordinator, would prefer to pass more. It's a pass-happy league. I get that. But, you know, you're putting a lot of pressure on somebody like Taylor Heinicke to make plays and throw the ball 40-something times, and you're bound to have some more mistakes out of that. But, you know, if they have Antonio Gibson banged up continuously, and then on top of that, Terry McLaurin not 100% healthy, there's really not much left. Logan Thomas has been out and going to be out for at least a couple more weeks with an injury, so you're missing your top tight end. It's just tough. They went out and tried to address the wide receiver spot a little bit, but they've just dealt with weapons and then inconsistencies from, like, De'Ami Brown, their rookie wide receiver. So, nothing's really added up for this team. There's all these expectations, and people are like, this may be a year. The national media loves Washington this year. Oh, that's probably a bad sign. And sure enough, it's just like one thing after the other starting to pile up, from a bad defense to now injuries starting to pile up for them.
So if Washington is able to pull off this upset, what needs to happen for the football team to be able to do that?
We could take a miracle, possibly Patrick Mahomes not showing up to the game at all. If we tell him it's a Monday night game and he shows up then, maybe that's the only way. I just don't see any chance that Washington wins this game. And maybe I'm jaded because I've watched so much of these failures from them this year. I would hammer the over in this because we know neither team can really play any defense. So that's certainly a great play for you there. But there's just no way that they're going to stop Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes, and watching Landon Collins and Bobby McCain, their two safeties, just constantly get beat in coverage. It's a recipe for disaster with all of the weapons that you guys have in Kansas City. It really just comes down to somehow, some way, they finally wake up and that defensive line is able to pressure Patrick Mahomes on a consistent basis and really get 3 to 4 sacks in this game. They have the talent to be able to do it. They're just not doing it.
Last thing here, Nick, how much this week has been about the off-season things with Washington versus on the field? Because it has been so much turbulence and toxicity and whatever T word you want to use surrounding that franchise for the last 10 days or so. How much are you guys even are talking about the actual football game on Sunday?
I'm exhausted. This team just makes me so tired. Yesterday, the local show that I did with the first 2 hours was only this. And it's just, there's always something new. And you have to talk about it because it is the biggest story surrounding the team. But it's just one thing after the other. The DEA raiding their head trainer's home and then the facility last week. And then you've got this John Gruden stuff and the emails turning into everything going back on Washington because that was part of the investigation. And then the Sean Taylor number retirement that they used to basically suppress the other story so people would divert their attention the other way. And fans are so smart now. They've seen this a million times. They're like, what are you doing? You're using Sean Taylor's name to divert the attention from all of the stuff you're in the news for right now? It's just, look, Jason Wright is the new team president. He seems like a very smart guy. Ron Rivera seems like somebody that does run a very tight ship. And really, everything felt great the first year. But stuff's starting to circle back again, and you're just going, I thought we had adults in charge. Why are you making these poor decisions again? Now, granted, everything with the emails was long before anybody that's there now, other than, of course, the owner, who's the real, true problem of the organization. But it's just, everybody's so tired of it, and this fan base is just mentally drained from the whole thing, and it just used to be such a proud franchise, and it just feels like 100 years ago. I'm from the generation that didn't even really see any of those successful years, so it's even worse for me. I'm just stuck being a fan of this team. It's my dad's fault, and I tell him it every week, and I grew up, and now I'm covering the team, which makes it even worse. But it's just, let me say this. Be very happy that you have something so functional, even with what's gone on this year so far in Kansas City, because it could be a lot worse.
I always say this, Nick, and I'll get you out of here. All of us have our Washington football team. Like, I cheer for the Missouri Tigers. We have the same moments that you're dealing with right now. Now, maybe not to that this extent. No. This is an extreme extent. But everybody who is a sports fan has this version of a team in their life. It will be okay.
I'm trying my best. This team just makes me drink. That's the problem.
That is Nick Ashew joining us on the show today. You can catch his work for 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C. Nick, man, good talking to you, man. Thanks for hopping on today, man.
Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.